Technically speaking.
Welcome to our Technically Untechnical Technology Talk.
A Nywik Atlantic production.
Hello, I'm Chelsea, the Nywik Atlantic audiovisual specialist, social media manager, and the big question is it data or data? I say data.
And I'm Alex, part of the media engagement team, and I pronounce it data.
Alex, I grew up in northern New York, so I think this might be a north versus south pronunciation moment.
And I'm from South Carolina, so I think it's a southern drawl kind of thing. We say data and like to draw the words out a little bit.
This is going to be confusing between the data and the data. And if you haven't guessed it at this point, this episode is all about data, data analytics, data processing, data decision making. We're going to talk about it all and how we use it here at Nywik Atlantic.
And coming up, we've got Janie Carson, who is the Nywik Atlantic Command Data Officer, and Jesse Stetz, a department lead in our Command Information Office. Then later, we have a military moment with Lieutenant Commander Alberto Osvath, who gives us insight into his leadership roles and how he thinks the Navy will change in the future. So get comfy, turn up that volume, and let's get started.
So our Command Data Officer, Janie Carson, she is involved in data security, policy access to data, and she explains how she uses her knowledge of data to help the command use it as an asset. So let's take a listen to her interview. Data, that's a word that's very popular right now. What does that mean for Nywik Atlantic? What does it look like? What is data?
Data is a lot and all the same at once. So it could be as simple as a Excel file, just a sheet on an Excel file. It could be a data table, which is generally in the background and queried using different languages. It could be unstructured data, so message traffic or PDFs or Word documents. So it could be any number of things that we have to massage and process to get into some sort of readable format so that the end user can really use it to make better decisions, more informed decisions.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. It can be messy. It can be neat, right?
Yes, exactly.
So how does Nywik Atlantic use data analytics?
So there's two sides of that answer. So on the command data IPT, we're really focused on the business operations of Nywik Atlantic, but you also have the mission side of the house. So 5-6, which is our data scientist group, they do a lot of the mission work where they're processing data and creating reports and dashboards and that sort of thing for the mission, right? For the Navy, Marines, that side of the house. So from the business operations side of the house specifically, we work with finance, contracts, HR, manpower, IPT leads, BFMs, BAs.
Wow.
I mean, it runs the gamut, really. But we're trying to help them pull in all the data that they need that could help them make decisions. You know, if it's from how many people you need on a team, how much money do I have left?
Wow.
How many people should I hire this year? So lots of different decisions that we're using data to make.
And you're figuring out new ways and processes to kind of streamline that information, all that data, into a more usable format. Is that the goal?
Absolutely. So in the past, for the command, we have used DWBIS, which is the Data Warehouse Business Intelligence System. And that is where the data has been stored. So we're pulling it in from all these disparate data sources into one place. Okay. And then we're using business objects, or BobJ, to create the reports so that the end product, right? So it's where the data has been processed and is now usable for the end user. We are in the middle of a migration. So it's huge undertaking. It's 3+ years in the making. So we are transitioning into Jupyter, which is the new Navy data and analytics platform. It houses the data, but it also has different programs that you can use to visualize the data. So we're moving all of our reports and dashboards into Qlik, which is the data visualization tool within Jupyter.
That's big news. So
Huge.
Instead of using different programs and people who are used to these different programs,
It's good changing. Good point. So a lot of people tend to export data from BobJ into Excel. And I know it's, I feel bad because I know I'm moving their cheese. So instead of doing things in Excel, we really want to modernize the way that we're interacting with the data. And Click allows us to do that, right? We can create the reports, we can customize and personalize those reports, and then we can send a link or we can just share the report, right? So anybody who needs to see it can go in at any time and view it. They don't have to necessarily quote unquote run a report. So I think the abilities that it's going to increase for not only the people who traditionally have run the reports, but for the people that they deliver the reports to.
And streamlining things so that it's more uniform and using the same program will most likely provide a lot of accuracy across the board as well, instead of using different styles and such. So it seems like the end user might really benefit from this.
Absolutely. Another great point. So Jupiter has, from the Navy level, they have people that are bringing in finance data, but also total force data, which is really a majority of the data that we process here locally. So transferring that to the Navy level, they're ensuring that it's authoritative data and that it's maintained and poised and ready for us to then use for our own purposes, and we don't have to maintain that anymore. So bringing all of those into one centralized place is really going to help us utilize it more appropriately.
Great. And on the mission side of things, what can you tell us about how we're using data to support the mission?
Well, interesting enough, we're also using Jupiter.
Right.
So it is really an exciting time to modernize the way that we're dealing with data and how we interact with it. And so on the mission side, Jupiter also has a lot of capabilities where things like the CNO dashboard would be in there, things like the fuels dashboard. And we even have those capabilities on the high side, which, you know, transitioning between the two is becoming easier and easier. We don't have to have a whole separate platform for that.
And those are exciting things. And for those who don't know, NIWC Atlantic is working on these two capabilities, these types of dashboards, to really kind of pull in a lot of information, a lot of data, and help the end user, which is the CNO and other leadership, through these various dashboards to make educated decisions and such. Is that sound about right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I think for NIWC Land, we really are on the forefront of a lot of these capabilities, and we jumped in head first, hit the ground running. And it's exciting because other people like the CNO and the Navy CDO, they're recognizing our efforts and seeing what we can do. And so they're bringing on Tiger teams to do exactly that for them.
So the CNO is the Chief of Naval Operations, and the CDO is the...
That is the Chief Data Officer.
Chief Data Officer of the Navy.
Of
so
the Navy.
These are very high-level people that are looking to us to give them some amazing capabilities and solutions to, you know, all of this data.
Exactly.
Because we're in a society nowadays where we are using so much technology and we have so much data. Have you noticed that change, that shift throughout the years?
Absolutely. I mean, you see it every day. You know, you watch Netflix or Hulu and you get your recommendations. That's not by chance. Right? They're using data to create those algorithms.
Right.
When you pick up your phone and things that are fed on your Instagram or your Twitter or Facebook, that's all by using data in the background. So if you're not using data to make your decisions, you're really falling behind because everybody else is.
And NIWC Atlantic is not going to fall behind.
No, absolutely. We're on the forefront.
Exactly. So what are you excited about looking forward and what NIWC Atlantic is doing? Tell me a little bit more about that.
So I have an analytics background. Before I was command data officer, I was the command analytics lead. And so for me personally, data analytics is, I love getting my hands dirty. I used to love doing spreadsheets, but then I got these new tools and I thought, oh, it's so much more. You can do so much more with it and you can make things look visually appealing in a much easier way and more appealing way. Right. Mm-hmm. So instead of using those spreadsheets, the ability to use data visualization tools that are really click and drag That to me is super exciting. And, you know, I want to help those who have to get in this data day to day to use those new tools, right? So that they can see the benefits as much as I know the benefits are there.
Well, I love hearing this passion you have for this. I'm excited to see the future of this and where it's going. I'm glad we're involved in it. So thank you so much for explaining all of this to me today and going over these wonderful capabilities.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I'm always so proud of our NIWC Atlantic engineers and scientists, especially since they're at the forefront of leveraging data and creating useful dashboards for data-based decision-making. Whew, Alex, I keep saying data, it's going around in my head and all this time.
It's such a tongue twister.
It is. It's a mouthful. And I also knew we were using data analytics to improve mission capabilities, but I did not realize its uses on the business side of operations.
And there are so many uses on the business side. And to explain that, I spoke with Jessie Statz about how she creates the processes and ways to automate how we use data.
You mean data?
Or data. Let's take the interview.
I lead a team of business analysts that create process artifacts and requirement artifacts to bring software solutions to life.
So can you tell us a little bit about what that means for the importance of what we do for the Navy and the military?
Yeah, so really what I like to think of my team as doing is really building and creating efficiencies for our internal business operations processes so that everyone else in the command can focus on doing their daily job, which is really more of those external projects where people are working to give the warfighter what they need. So if we optimize things and we make things easier for them internally with our internal processes, it's less time of them having to spend focused on that and more time focused on the warfighter.
And how do you use the data to create those processes? Or is it the other way around? You sort of come up with the processes first?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of the other way around. I really see us as on that, you know, front end enabling of the digital transformation that we're on internal to NIWC Atlantic. And that is really my team is really working to create value streams, which is this stream of processes. And then we do analysis on them where we ask ourselves, there are these things that either are or aren't flowing downstream. And a lot of what we're looking at in terms of flowing should be data, right? So we see some things along the way in a value stream, like a spreadsheet that's on a single computer isn't ideal, because if it's on someone's computer, then there's no way it's flowing, right? So how do we get this away from a spreadsheet on someone's computer and into a centralized solution that then can flow downstream to other tools and flow back to our centralized data repository for people to build dashboards to make decisions off of?
So essentially it's making things more efficient from the beginning to make sure that things are being done in the proper way.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of what we've been really working on is, like, for example, would be we might have formerly had a form, a PDF, where data was entered in a form in a way that we couldn't have access to the raw data. So now with these solutions that we're building in apps, the data is now digitized. So we can link the different systems together and have the data flow and pull in authoritative data. The other thing we can do is take away this, you have like 20 different forms that have a lot of the similar data, enter the data once, and then it will flow to 20 forms rather than you having to type it into 20 different forms.
Very nice. What are some of the things that are coming up, I guess, in the future in terms of making this easier for your team in terms of artificial intelligence or any other things on the horizon that can help even improve the processes that you all are creating now?
Yeah, so I'm just going to be completely honest. I kind of see us on more of that front end of the journey of digital transformation. I mean, we still have things in forms, right? So when I look at that journey that we're on, it's really get everything digitized, then pull in automation, and then build different systems and hook them up to each other. And then you can start to use that data to then do cool things like AI.
What is some of the projects that you are working on now? Can you name anything specifically regarding how we're helping the warfighter, or is there anything more from just more of the administrative side of the house that you all are working on?
Yeah, so actually every single project that I currently work on is all internal business operations. So sadly, I don't have that direct link over to the warfighter, but I do like to think that we're saving people time from having to enter duplicate data in that way. For instance, we have a release planned to customize a new professional student intern workflow because it's slightly different. We also have plans to digitize the new cyber coding sheet, and we have plans to digitize the pay setting form. So the pay setting form has a bunch of manual calculations that everyone does constantly, and there's no reason for us to have to do that, especially if it's a new pay settings form on an existing employee, when we can pull that data in authoritatively from OCHR, automatically do the calculations and save people time and hopefully reduce errors and rework related to a human having to do that. So those are just some examples on how we're on a journey, right? We're not done. Every time we build these things, we get them out there, we get feedback from users, and then we continue to iterate on it. It's going to take us a while, and it's going to take us continuing to fight to move forward to continue to deliver these solutions to give people back the time so that they can really focus on the warfighter. And that's kind of that message I keep giving to my team so that they can recognize the tie on how they're supporting the rest of our workforce so that they can support the warfighter.
It's amazing just to hear how much goes into creating those forms and the processes to go along with that. And I don't know if how much of the general public understands or realizes how much is involved with it. Do you have anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that everyone knows everyone can help us on this journey. And the way that users can help us is when they see something in a tool that isn't intuitive or isn't working for them, we encourage them to create that customer support ticket, letting us know about that improvement idea, because that's what we want to do. We want to iterate using users' feedback.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the impact that you and your team provide to Nowic Atlantic and to the Warfighter.
Thanks.
I appreciated Jessie sharing how she and her team streamline the processes and in turn how that helps us rapidly deliver services to the warfighter.
And speaking of the warfighter, it's time to move on to our military moment. Lieutenant Commander Osvath is an operations manager at our Hampton Roads location in Virginia. So let's listen to him explain his role and his predictions for the future of Navy technology.
So what you do, your role, how is that helping create information warfare solutions?
Or the day-to-day application of assisting the ships, the fleet, the squadrons, boots on ground, and whatever requirements they have. So I think the XO put it best, is like he wants us to be like the 911 for the fleet. So the ships call, that, hey, we have an issue. We get somebody to fix it for them, and that's what we do.
Wonderful. So how long have you been in the Navy?
I've been in the Navy 24 years.
Retirement in the future? Or?
Yes. So September of 2025 is my last month in the Navy.
Congratulations. Before you retire, what do you think the next 10 to 20 years is going to be like for the Navy and technology?
You know, I think the Navy is going more towards automated. So AI is going to be big. Unmanned aerial or sub vehicles, UASs, that's going to be big. So if you see that, the automation, the AI, and all this stuff, and now you're taking people, right? So the requirement for people isn't there anymore. However, you need people to operate the fleet. So it's going to be challenging for the Navy, I think, in a couple of years.
So because retention is somewhat low, they need to develop the technology to be able to continue operations with less people. Yep. But you also still need to have people to maintain it. So a bit of a double-edged sword, but if you work together, you might be able to solve that problem with both those solutions.
Absolutely. You know, and like I was saying, I think the Navy just has to change the requirements, the methods of how to keep people in the Navy and want to stay in the Navy. I think social media and all these things going around the world now, you know, the kids coming in are a lot smarter, you know. They're really smart, so they're smarter in investing. They're smarter in, the people come in with degrees. They come in with master's degrees. Like when I came in, hardly people came in with even high school education sometimes, you know. Like a lot of people with GEDs, high schools, nobody looked at people like, oh, you came in with a bachelor's degree? You didn't see that back then. Now you see people coming in with master's degrees. Like, why'd you what are you doing? You know, why'd you come in doing this? You know, and so Navy has to keep up because, you know, there's a lot of companies that they're ready to recruit people, you know, and, you know, people go where the money is.
Yeah, I mean, I did that for the Air Force. So I joined with a bachelor's degree and got financially ahead and got some experience. And then I got out and I joined the civilian side of things. So that could possibly be one tactic that many people are using. So, yeah, there are definitely solutions out there that the Navy, the military in general can do. So it's nice to see that that's being thought of and it's being worked. So that's great.
And what kind of advice would you give to those sailors and other folks joining the military? What would you give them in terms of your leadership?
Don't base your experience in the Navy off your first 4 years. You know, I think a lot of people, or a lot of kids, including myself, you know, like I did my first 4 years and I was ready to get out at the first year. You know, like, this is not for me. I don't want to be this. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. And you see a lot of kids or a lot of people that come in, they just... they want to be put in high positions without without doing their time, you know, and it's just kind of, that's just not how life works, you know. You got to learn how to crawl before you learn how to walk. And then, you know, seek a mentor. Always seek out a mentor or two or three, and then the more mentors you have, the more different traits you can pick from each one, and then make yourself into that leader that you want to be.
What made you join the military?
Oh, so... funny story. So I joined in 99, and I actually joined, I got in an argument with my dad, and I got out of the car and I walked to the Navy recruiter and I said, sign me up. And he's like, it's 9 o'clock at night, come back tomorrow. So I got back in my dad's car and I went home and I didn't talk to him for the rest of the night. And then next morning I woke up early and I was there before they opened and I signed up, and 2 months later, I left.
Thank you for your service, and thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Alex, I really liked how he emphasized the importance of people and how we need to continue to value them over, say, like automation or artificial intelligence, that people really are the core of what we need in the Navy.
Absolutely, Chelsea. And I think our workforce is one of the strongest assets that we have. So we got to make sure we take care of our people.
Oh, agreed. Wholeheartedly. As always, to learn more about anything we've mentioned in the podcast, check out our social medias under NAVOR or our Niwic Atlantic website. Links are in the description.
That wraps up another episode. Thanks for listening.
If you have a tip or story that you think should be included in this podcast, please contact us at our public affairs email address, which is listed in the description.
Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic, also known as NIWC, is the East Coast branch of the Naval Information Warfare Systems Command within the Department of the Navy. We develop a range of technologies that provide state-of-the-art capabilities to the United States military.